The Lord bless you, heart dwellers, with a teachable spirit and open hearts. Well, I just like everyone else have been struggling with what looks like a word on timing that's difficult to reconcile with what I believe Jesus has told us. The only exception that could qualify it is when the Lord last brought the subject up and he said, minutes, minute by minute. Since then, I've gotten numerous people declaring I said this and I said that. One in particular said, she told us the day the Dome of the Rock was bombed would be the day of the rapture. No, that's not what I said. You misunderstood. I said the day Miami was bombed. The Lord told me when you see the bombing of the Dome of the Rock, drop to your knees. That's the beginning of World War III. So, that clarified, let's move on. It has deeply troubled me that there is still no sign of the Lord's coming according to what he's told me. I had a very heavy burden for it all day today. So when I came into prayer, I was aching inside and I felt the Lord was going to speak to me about this very topic. And he did. Here's what transpired. Lord, what am I to tell them? I'm responsible for every word before you. I'm responsible before you for every word, and I'm not feeling the urgency. There is again a lull in my sense of imminence of your coming for us. Please, Lord, what am I to tell them? And he answered me, tell them to stop praying for their relatives. Tell them to stop praying for their country. Tell them to stop praying for the world. Then I will come much sooner. Am I to ignore the believers that fast and pray and gather together, praying for the nation? Am I to turn a deaf ear to my people when they humble themselves and turn to me? There he's quoting 2 Chronicles 7. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. He continued, it's just as simple as that, Claire. If you are in such a hurry to be raptured, then stop praying. But Lord, the way I see it, forgive me if I'm wrong, there are three kinds of believers, the weary and well-doing, the bridesmaids that ran out of oil, but are still waiting for your return. Then the true lovers, who are also waiting and longing, but are doing all in their power to bring all mankind to you. Their lamps are still full. They are the ones who are holding back the rapture, even though they look like the ones who can't wait anymore. And those who've been born again but are busy in the world and don't want to hear about your coming. Is this your thinking or mine? He answered me, it's mine. I have put these thoughts in your mind so I could help you to see where you stand before me. The ones who are anxious and in a hurry for me to come have not conquered their flesh yet. They are wavering, growing weary, and even falling asleep. Their lamps are empty. They react badly when I'm delayed, to the point of wanting to give up and fall in with the rest of the world. Not at all concerned about the lost they don't see. Yes, they give lip service and pray, but they'd rather be raptured now than suffer any more for the sake of the millions who are yet unsaved. They do not see as I see, think as I think, nor feel as I feel. Many on our channel are this way, my bride. My brides, I love you, but you must see yourselves in my mirror. If what is left of your life is truly an offering to me. The ones who are in the forefront of ministry working hard while the day yet dawns, they are my lovers. They are the very ones who will be raptured, even against their will on a certain level. They are so in love with me and dedicated to my agenda that they pray for the nation and the world, expecting me to hear them and grant leniency and mercy. These are the ones I am eager to have with me in heaven. They are the bridesmaids with full lanterns, with lamps. They are the bridesmaids with lamps full of oil. Then there are what I call the worldly and truly backslidden Christians who do what is convenient. They support missions, give to ministries, and lead the good life, enjoying certain aspects of the world. They too pray, but when push comes to shove, they will bail out, or perhaps snap too. They are not well acquainted with suffering, not on the same scale as the lovers are. Now I will address the readings you got for your service. I had a communion service just before I came into prayer. And before I share that with you, dear ones, I want to tell you about the service James, the brother of Jesus, established around 50 AD. Many of the liturgical churches use this form in the present day, and I love it because it gives readings from the Psalms, the letters, the Old Testament, and the New. And the form that it comes in is called a missal. I use the one for Sunday because it has lots of readings in it. I use it for a rhema. I've rarely gotten a service that was not a direct rhema to my situation with all these different readings backing it up. So lately I've been taking readings from the missal at random according to Holy Spirit's choosing. Now I'll proceed with the Lord explaining them to us. The first reading, Lord, where do you want to start? In Peter, he answered. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. That's 2 Peter 3:8. Stop here, Jesus said. Yes, in heaven, time is altogether different. But when I speak to you, I speak of earth time, because that is what you live and understand. I do not speak to you in the heavenly concept of time. Continue. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Jesus began again. You look at me and pray, Lord, have mercy on my family. Am I a deaf idol, or do I respond by granting mercy? You pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Am I again as one who cannot hear? You weep over the rejection your relatives give you when they mock you. Am I not weeping with you? Do your tears and agony not move my heart to pity them and give them more grace, more time, and more mercy? Those who continually say, my mercy is at an end, are wrong. My mercy is everlasting from age to age. And then he quickened this scripture to me. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. That's Lamentations 3:23. My people, you must take into consideration that my heart is pure gold, pure love, pure good. I abhor judgment. I hate having to mete out judgment. You have no way to reckon the pain I suffer at judgment. The murder of innocent children, pregnant women, young children. You have no idea what it cost me to mete out judgment. So it shouldn't surprise you that I'm anxious to answer prayers for mercy. Have I not been telling you to pray? Have you not been praying for the unsaved in your families? So I ask you to pray. You pray and I ignore you? Is that the kind of God you suppose I am? What did Jonah do when the people were not slain in my anger? Are you not just like him? You prophesied judgment, and I relented because they repented. Now you want to lay down and die? Are you not all just like Jonah? I chide you, my bride. I'm not condemning you. I'm drawing your attention to what is lacking before the saints in heaven. They see this lack, and they pray for mercy for you. And by the way, this knee-jerk reaction you have to anyone in heaven praying for you comes from the enemy. It's pure nonsense, literally. Shall not those in union with me weep when I weep? Rejoice when I rejoice? Pray when I pray? You ask your friends to pray for you, but the cloud watching your every move, they can't? As I said, this is senseless. Just because one church abuses understanding, does that make it invalid? They abuse baptism and marriage as well, charging money for it. So do you abandon baptism and marriage too? I do not wish to go any deeper with this. Seek me and I will show you the truth. In the meantime, those in heaven and on earth and all creation are groaning on your behalf. And he quickened this scripture to me from Romans 8. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we also ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons and the redemption of our body. Jesus continued, yes, creation groans, just as you groan, weary of the corruption of this world. Now you ask me when, and I cannot tell you that until the Father reveals it to me. I have chosen to stand behind the scriptures. I can tell you other things that will happen on that day, but I cannot name the day. It is being kept from me. I did tell you that a date had been set, but then I was given more time to gather, and I told you time was being extended in very tiny increments. Later, I clarified that and said the tiny increments were minute to minute. So time is being extended minute to minute. Do you know what I do? If I were living on earth, I would say, do you know what I do first thing in the morning? I thank the Father for yet another minute to redeem souls. One more minute. I thank Him, and I set my sights on those who are beginning to respond. That's what I do. So how do I feel about those who are eager for the rapture? I'm happy that they're eager to see me and be relieved of their suffering, which is only natural. But I am sad to see such selfishness that would have me leave so many behind to suffer even more and for eternity. And those who are about my business, pressing in, they make me cry for joy. Why, you say? Because their hearts are one with mine, and they comfort me with their love for their brother. Which brings me to this. They are the early church at Philadelphia. Yes, they are the ones I have promised redemption and deliverance from the evil days that are to befall this earth. My people, either you are for me or against me. Either you are listening and responding to my pain and ignoring yours, or you're complaining of the very things that will bring you the most merit and glory in heaven and joy to me. My children, I hear every voice. Do you understand? I hear the voice of the unborn child in the womb. I hear the voice of the aged afflicted with Alzheimer's. Yes, they too have a voice. And I hear every voice in between. How then do I justify crushing the needy in their anguish? Shall I not long for mercy from my Father for these? I say these things just to acquaint you with my dilemma, not to condemn you. I want your hearts to correspond with mine. Do you know this world should have been thrown into confusion, chaos, and war a long time ago? Yes, a long time ago. Do you know many of you weren't as yet saved? Oh, shudder where you stand. You were hell-bound. And now am I to abandon those just like you to the abyss? I will not. And I want you on my side, on my Father's side. Yes, listen up, my people. Get my heart for the lost, and stop tempting your God with judgment on these. Prove to me that you are my true spouse, that all that matters to you is what matters to me. Do you know all of heaven is united to me in desire and prayer? Well, it is. So this is what I am doing for all of you. And this even benefits the lukewarm and gives them a little time to wake up. I'm giving you joyous things to do for me. Things you were born to do, I am giving you. I am bringing out your talents so that you won't grow bored and weary, but will press in and blossom. You may very well get picked from this earthly garden before you blossom. Such is the nature of timing. However, you will be in the process of blossoming. You will not be sitting beside the road steeped in self-pity and bemoaning your sufferings here. No, you'll be rising up to take the kingdom by storm with the particular attributes I've endowed you with. Yes, you will be productive if you obey me. I want you to forget earthly time because I still do not know the day or hour, and I don't want to look down on a dour bride bemoaning my delay. It is not in my hands. Do you understand? It is in the Father's hands. And in the meantime, I must appease my bride and get her to focus on the good yet to be done. So you see, I hope you see, I am bending over backwards to bring joy to your lives in these circumstances. Yes, I'm pouring it on. Ask and you shall receive. Some of you still have not pressed in far enough to know what it is you can or should be doing. Until that's revealed to you, do whatever your hand finds to do to bring me to others. I will lead you by necessity. I will bring needs to your attention. Be sensitive and respond. You do not know how I will write straight with crooked lines. Just be obedient and do whatever your hand finds to do to make me real to others. By your obedience, I will lead you. All right. Now we come to the crux of the situation, and for this I want you to listen very carefully. And he quoted from 2 Peter 3:10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." Now, have you ever been robbed? Were you expecting it? Right, you were not. It was a surprise. This is just a microscopic scenario of what will happen that day. Suzanne is busy at the nursing home. She works there but also volunteers. She has just organized a musical presentation about heaven for the senior citizens and is in the middle of getting the props together with other volunteers. All of a sudden, she hears the sound of the trumpet and the earth begins to shake. Immediately, she knows what it is. She looks up at me and says, "Now? I was just..." But before the word of complaint can escape her mouth, she's taken up into my waiting arms. Across town, Alex has just begun a Bible study in the park. This is his third week. He hesitated to do this for so long, but because he heard that I wanted him to press in, he went forward with it. So here he is with a group of homeless men who are really beginning to enjoy the simple teachings and gracious meals he's been bringing to them. They're seeing the gospel in action. All of a sudden, they hear a roar in the skies and hear trumpets blazing. Alex looks up at me and says, But Lord, I'm just beginning. Two towns away, Lisa has just been abandoned by her husband because of her faith. She has three little ones to take care of on her own now. She's being put up by some friends from the church, and at long last polishing up some songs she wrote and learning how to play them and sing. This coming Sunday will be her debut. She's been invited to sing one of her songs to me in church. A deafening roar penetrates the house. The children who are napping are all waking up. Mom, what's happening? She puts her guitar down, runs to the window, and there I am. Now, Lord, I just mastered this song, she begins. But before she could finish what she wanted to say, she's taken up with me and her children. Ethel is organizing a bazaar to help with the medical expenses of a child with cancer. The church basement is packed with donations, and she's just organizing and labeling them with her two volunteers. All of a sudden, she hears the roar of the trumpets blazing as well. Her mouth drops open as she's taken up to meet me in the clouds. Now, for all you naysayers, don't write into this channel talking about how Miami has to happen first. I've established that. I'm speaking to you here about principles, not details. And then the Lord quoted another scripture, Luke 12:40. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. He continued, do you all get the point? Have I made myself clear? Whatever you see before you that needs to be done, do it for love of me and your brother, and you will be joyously surprised in the midst of it. You won't be expecting me, just as the scripture says. You will be taken by surprise. Why do you suppose I put it that way? And then he brought to mind, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. That's in 2 Peter. And for my final word to you, I knew this was going to happen. I knew it, I wrote it, and it's been passed on to you. The bridegroom was delayed a long time. They all became drowsy and fell asleep. That's Matthew 25:5. He was delayed a long time because he was on a search and rescue mission. Just when he thought the last one was found, more started coming up out of the crevices of the mountain, running towards him. What was he to do? Keep on going or stop and pick up the tender lambs in his arms and bring them home? You see, the world does not revolve around you. It revolves around the ones who have not been found. I am not in the position to call the question. The Father is. And when he sees fit, I will get the call to come get you. Until then, I am busy about my Father's business. And I'm asking you to be as well, my bride. Eternity is assured to you. But for many, there is no hope. Remember, the shepherd left the 99 and went after the one, and you must do likewise. As you are lifting this precious one in your arms, the trumpet will sound, and you too will look up into the skies and ask, now, Lord, but know for a certainty that every time I am teaching you, I'm imparting the graces to move on that teaching, to correspond and set your hand to the plow. Even now I am showering you with the graces to turn your hearts around and wrap them around mine. I love you, my bride. We are going to do this together. And on that day you will look at me and declare, Lord, I'm so happy you delayed your coming. Look at these I have brought you for a wedding present.